So I was getting ready for this morning, and I found this article in Time Magazine. It was a few years ago, and it said, CEO dads open up about balancing work and fatherhood and the challenges that they face. And the CEO of Clif Bar, his name is Kevin Cleary. He's not there anymore, but at the time he said, he noticed it's interesting that every time he gets interviewed, someone always asks him, how do you find time to exercise while you're being CEO? But no one ever says, how do you find time to be a dad? But he actually said he left work every week, Thursday after lunch, to go coach his twin boys' baseball team. But no one ever seemed to ask him about that. And then Intuit CEO, y'all guys probably remember Intuit, the company ended up getting sold a few times. And the CEO, Brad Smith, at the time said his biggest regret when he looks back over all his success was the day after both of his daughters were born, he went on a business trip. Not after one daughter was born, but the day after both his daughters were born, he went on a business trip. And he said it was kind of ironic when he looks back on it. It's a big regret because everything he did was for his kids. Everything he did. And so he went on, and Smith, Brad Smith talks about how he shares with interns when they come in the idea that you have these rubber moments and these crystal moments in life. And a rubber moment is something where you can easily bounce back, right? Your child has 120 soccer games over the course of just elementary school years, and you miss one, that's okay. But then you have things like a birth or a graduation and these really important moments. And don't drop the crystal and have it break because it's not rubber and it won't bounce back. And it's a challenge that a lot of men face, right? We work hard to provide. It's what we want to do. But trying to balance the areas that we provide for our families. Pew Research did a study a few years ago, and this is what they found. 46% of fathers reported that they don't think they spend enough time with their children. So this is weighing on them, 46% of them. And they're providing for their families in many ways, but they feel like something's missing. We've been studying 1 Timothy here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship, and let's just, kind of as a refresher, Paul spent years traveling, starting many new churches, and he developed this team of what I'm going to call like co-workers, right? This was like his team of kind of assistant coaches, co-workers. They helped him with these churches, and Timothy was one of these men. And Paul mentored Timothy, and eventually he sent him off. And he sent him off to a church where there were church leaders that had incorrect teachings about Jesus. In fact, Paul really thought they had bad theology. And he was concerned about that, and that's why he sent Timothy out there. And so when Timothy arrives, Paul sends this letter. And that's what we've been studying here at Leadership Ministries. And the letter is full of practical advice that was relevant for what Timothy was facing. So today we're going to be in 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's a simple message, right? Men, if you are capable, then we are obligated to care for our families. John 15:12 says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And then in John 14:15, right before that, he said, "If you love me, keep my commands." So he's saying, if you love me, keep my commands. And then Jesus goes on to say shortly after that, "And my command is this, love one another." And so this is the statement Paul is making. If you claim that you're a follower of Christ, then how can you choose to not care for your family? And he's really trying to emphasize the point, right? And so he doesn't just call a person an unbeliever, which would have been a pretty big insult at the time, but he says you are worse than an unbeliever. So he's intentionally trying to show Timothy and the leaders of this church the importance of caring for your family. He took that insult like a step further. And it was very, I have to think, it was really intentional words that Paul used because he really wanted to drive that fact home. So this is what Paul is saying. Christians should know better. Christians should know better. God made each of us capable to work. Many of us go to work every day. We probably spend more time at work than we do with our families if we think about the hours that we are awake when we're at home. And we provide all sorts of support for our families. And many times the first type of support we think of is financial support. And sometimes it feels like that's the majority of the support we do. And a lot of men, that weighs on them. And that's, to them, that's the most important support that they can be providing. And then we also provide physical support. And many times that's in the form of safety, right? And you can think of like the really simple measures of that, or like a roof over the head and a warm place to sleep at night, or a dry place to sleep. But then think about safety as like a young child, and how a young child looks at their parent for safety. And I was reminded myself last night of a story. I was in Highlands, North Carolina. I'm hiking with my two children, Savannah and Thomas. Savannah was probably a preteen. Thomas is probably like 7 or 8. We're hiking up this mountain in Highlands, North Carolina. And Thomas had been really quiet for a while, and he's looking around. And he finally turns to me and he says, "Dad, what happens if we see a bear?" And this was weighing on him, right? What happens if we see a bear? And I, you know, my wife says I'm too sarcastic. And I turn to Thomas and I say, "Thomas, let me tell you something about bears. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than somebody else." And he did not find a lot of humor in that. And he looks at me and he looks at his older sister. And she looks at him and she's like, "I'm faster than you, Thomas." And he looks at me and he says, "You'll carry me, right, Dad?" And it was in that moment that like he was looking to me to provide safety. He wanted assurance that I would provide physical safety. And then we provide emotional support. And many times that is in the time that we spend with our family, right? With our children, with our spouses, with our siblings, with our parents. And you could argue time is your most valuable gift. We don't have a lot of it. I frequently run out of time. And you just look for little ways to do that. I took advice of a friend years ago when my kids were little, and he said, look for ways to spend one-on-one time with your children so they're not competing for your attention. Right? When you have two children with you or three children with you, they are constantly competing for your attention. But when you have one-on-one, then they know they have your attention. And so I would look for little ways to do that. I would have breakfast with them before school, or sometimes it's just going outside and, you know, playing a game of horse at the basketball goal. But just something where they're not competing for you. They know you're right there with them. So we have physical support, we have emotional support, and we have financial support. But I think most importantly, what Paul is trying to remind us here today is spiritual support. And that support that we give our family on the spiritual side. And I hope that each of us here today are teaching our family about Jesus. And I also hope that each of us here today are showing our family what it means to follow Jesus in our actions and in our love. And so we worry the most about providing maybe physical or financial support for our family. But the spiritual support is what's really important. Because we don't want just a happy marriage. Right? We don't want just happy kids or a happy household. When we serve God, the family comes together for the Lord. Joshua 24:15 ends with this: "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And this doesn't just apply to our children and our wife. It applies to all the members of our family, to our siblings, to our parents, to our grandparents, to our aunts and uncles. We owe it to them, if they don't know the Bible, to show them the Bible, to tell them about the Bible, because it's full of good news and it's full of lessons that we can all learn from. And I was thinking about the different lessons in the Bible, and it kind of reminds you of childhood stories, and we learn about jealousy, right? Joseph and his brothers, and how jealousy just destroyed that family, and it caused the brothers to do horrible things. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." And then we can learn about forgiveness, right? The prodigal son. Everybody remembers that, right? He leaves, he squanders everything away, then he comes back and the father just has open arms for him. Right? Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is what can unite people. And Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And then we have lessons about caring for our parents. And I think like the most powerful lesson that sometimes just slips right past everybody is when Jesus is dying on the cross. Because you can just imagine the excruciating pain, the agony, like physically that he's going through as he's hanging there. And what does he do? He looks at his mom, and he's concerned about her welfare, and he's concerned about the pain that she is feeling at that moment. And he turns to John, and he basically says, take care of my mom. Right? The power of taking care of a parent, even in that moment of your own pain. And so we owe it to our family, which is really our immediate sphere of influence, to share the love of Jesus. Over 18 years ago, my dad invited me here. We used to meet it on the border. I had been a couple other times before as a teenager. He would drag me to, I think it was Bennigan's, when we used to meet there. And you know, I don't remember all the details of how he invited me. I don't think it was probably a really complex invitation, but I do remember what was going on in my life. I was about to get married. My wife already had a daughter, so I was going to become a stepdad overnight. So I was going to go from hanging out at Five Paces to hanging out at soccer fields for youth soccer in a split second. And it was a little overwhelming. And I just, you know, I remember my dad saying something to me like, your life is getting more serious and this is what you should do. And he didn't make it uncomfortable, but he did share with me the impact that his table had had on him and the men in his life. And he knew that that was powerful and that was something that I could benefit from. So when Mark asked me to speak this morning and I saw the topic, right, a man cares for his family, a leader cares for his family. And I just sat there and I thought of all my own failures. You know, like, I'm not qualified to be up here. I am certainly not the model that everybody should be following. There are plenty of times when I haven't provided properly for my wife, probably this week. There's plenty of times when I don't provide well for my children, and I haven't been there for them. And I've made decisions where I did the extra work instead of coming home, and who knows if that extra work actually made a difference or not. And there's definitely times when I haven't provided for my parents like I wish I had. My wife's father passed away when she was in her 20s, and she frequently reminds me of that and how she wishes he was still around. And it's been a great reminder to be thankful that I have my parents still. And then I thought, you know, I've been divorced. Like, what a joke to look at me. Like, I'm the guy telling you about how you should be handling your family when my own family fell apart. And that was tough, right? And that was a period of my life when I had a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. And I had to really look to God for forgiveness. And when you put God first in your life and you ask for those things, he can do amazing things. Not everybody can see this, but this is a picture from my son's high school graduation. And I'll just tell you who's in the picture because it's really interesting. I have my wife, Christy. I have her daughter, Kaylin. I have my ex-wife, Sherry. Her new husband, Joe. Both my parents, who are completely open to everybody there. Our son, Thomas, that we had together. And then my daughter, Savannah, that was Sherry's daughter that I've raised since she was 6, and I adopted her when she was 11. So life is messy, and you don't always get to choose the path you're on, but you can choose how you respond to it. And while it's really easy to be bitter and not forgive and be angry when divorce happens, you know, I chose a different path, and it wasn't easy. But the day after that lunch, my older daughter, Savannah, called me. And she said, Dad, don't think that we don't notice. Don't think that we don't notice. And it hit hard. And it was totally, totally worth it. So men, there might be men in your life today. Maybe it's your son, maybe it's your grandson, maybe it's a nephew. It's a son-in-law, maybe it's a brother-in-law that doesn't know Jesus. And I would encourage you to reach out to them. Give them the invitation to come here. This is not a threatening place, right? This is full of, if I'm going to be honest, men that make mistakes on a regular basis, but have decided that they want to be better. And they want to follow the model of Jesus. And if you are one of these men where you're saying to yourself, I don't even know what he's talking about because my life is really good and my whole family knows Jesus and we're on the right path, then I would ask you if there are men in your life who don't know Jesus, who aren't caring for their family like you think they should, and look to them to be their mentor, to train them, to coach them. A leader cares for his family, but a leader also trains, mentors, and coaches other men so they can care for their family too. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the passion that Paul had for Jesus, and that he had a life where he poured into other men. We thank you for this letter that's been saved all these years so we can learn from it. We thank you for Timothy and his desire to help church leaders. And we ask that you, Lord, we ask that you just give on our heart the desire and the courage and the wisdom to care for our families and to be the men that you intend us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have fun at your tables.